They'll bow to me and say, "Come and be our queen."
"Why do you fill her up with this nonsense?" Mother said.
"What's the harm in it?" said Father.
Jack knew Mother had lost two babies before he was born, and two afterward. She thought she would never have another. But to everyone's surprise, she produced this last perfect child. Lucy had golden hair that made you think of sunlight. She had eyes the colour of violets that grew in the deep forest. She was light as thistledown, merry as a lark. And because at age five she had always been loved, she loved everyone back. In spite of everything, Jack couldn't dislike her. Right now she was being carried down the ladder by Father. She was too big for it. Jack could see pain flit across his father's face as he stepped clumsily from one rung to the next. But he also saw joy. Joy that was rarely present when Giles Crookleg looked at his son, Jack. Jack threw back the covers and stood up, stretching to let the new day flow into his body. Like everyone else, he slept in his clothes, so there was no problem getting dressed. He pulled away the wool plugging the door crack and climbed outside. A grey light was creeping over the eastern sea. It seeped into the moors and died abruptly in the dark forest to the west. The sky was the colour of black ice. It was going to be a miserable day. Jack ran to the privy. He bounced up and down to keep the frozen ground from sticking to his shoes. The bard said the frost giants lie in wait for unwary humans, stunning them with their misty breath. You could never lie down outside in the dark of winter, no matter how tempting it was. That was how the frost giants got you, whispering of warmth to be found in sleep. Jack ran back to the house, sliding on a patch of ice he hadn't seen. He banged through the door and stood, steaming and stamping, to get the feeling back into his feet.
"Cold, eh?"
said Father. He was sitting next to the fire with Lucy on his lap.
"Cold as a troll's,
we'll have none of that language," Mother said sharply. Jack grinned and flopped down next to the fire. Mother gave him a mug of cider, and he warmed his hands on that.
"The ewes will be lambing," Father observed.
"Oh, aye," agreed Mother.
"I love little lambs,"
Lucy burbled, cradling her cup of cider.
"You don't have to go out and find the little beasts," said Jack.
"It's God's way," Father said. "Adam sinned, and so the rest of us must earn our bread by the sweat of our brows."
"Amen," said Mother.
Jack wondered why something that had happened at the beginning of the world still plagued them. How long did it take for the punishment to run out? Wouldn't it make sense, after 1,000 years or so, for God to say, "All right, that's enough, you can come back to Eden"? But Jack didn't say that aloud. Father had a very short temper where religion was concerned. Father had wanted to be a priest, but his family had not been rich enough to pay the entrance fee to the abbey. It was a constant sorrow to the man, for his deformed leg made it hard to do the chores of a farmer. Father's finest memory was of having visited the Holy Isle as a youth. He had been taken there in hopes of a cure, and the sight of the monks going about their peaceful lives had filled him with awe. They didn't have to drag a plough through a stony field. They didn't have to cut wood in a terrifying forest, listening for wolves or, worse, the goblins that devoured boys. Alas, not even the kindly monks could heal Giles Crookleg's injury. The best they could do was feed him soft white bread and roast lamb flavoured with rosemary. They prayed over him in a chapel with a stained glass window that shone with the colours of the rainbow when the sun was behind it.
"I thought I'd mend the barn roof today," Father said.
Jack frowned. That meant the nasty chore of hunting for lambs fell on him. He shoved last night's bread into his porridge. If it wasn't soaked, it was too hard to eat. Jack's teeth.